As we're coming upon the season, or the festivity rather, of Pentecost in a couple of weeks, which concludes the Easter season, and the Gospel today mentions the Holy Spirit, it's good for us to reflect on the Holy Spirit, who is sometimes called the forgotten God, and his influence on the life of the church. The Holy Spirit is first mentioned in the book of Genesis as the breath of God, which is exactly what he is. In the Creed, we say we believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the Lord of life, the giver of life. The Holy Spirit, in actuality, is the love that proceeds from God the Father to God the Son, and returned by the Son to the Father. The Holy Spirit is then poured out upon all of us, the church. The sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit is given to all of us in baptism, claiming us for Christ and marking us with a sacred seal, imprinting the image of God on our souls, making us truly sons and daughters of God, the Father, and brothers and sisters of God, the Son, that is Jesus, and of course, brothers and sisters of one another. The Holy Spirit opens up the channels of sanctifying grace, enabling us to see God and to seek God. It enables us to repent, to grow in faith, to grow in hope, to grow in love, and to receive the sacraments. The Holy Spirit directs our minds toward God and gives us wisdom and knowledge, moving us to prayer and union with God. The Holy Spirit is there to help to guide our thoughts, to help us make good decisions, and gives life to our good actions. The Holy Spirit moves us to repentance whenever we sin. The Holy Spirit corrects us whenever we do sin to feel remorse and inspires us to be reconciled with God. He purifies us from sin in the sacrament of penance and erases the memory of our sins from the mind of God. A beautiful and powerful thing we have in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's fullness is given to us in the sacrament of confirmation, in the gifts of wisdom and knowledge, understanding and counsel, piety, fortitude, and reverence. And he gives us these gifts to be more perfectly conformed to Christ and to better live the Christian life. The Holy Spirit changes ordinary bread and wine to Christ's real and substantial presence, that is, his body and blood, through the priest being a man who is baptized and confirmed as a member of Christ's body, the church, but chosen to represent Christ as head of the church and ordained by the sacrament of holy orders to receive another powerful seal, to serve as a deacon, a priest, or bishop for the body of Christ, the church. And he does this through the celebration of the sacraments, through preaching and teaching, and the governing of the church. The Holy Spirit binds a man and woman into one in holy matrimony until death, and he enables them to faithfully and to lovingly fulfill the duties and retain the dignity of marriage and family. In the anointing of the sick, the Holy Spirit comes to comfort and console the sick and the dying, gives comfort to weary souls, preparing them to depart this life and to face God's judgment, or to enliven and strengthen soul and body back to health as God sees fit. But of all this, we know that the Holy Spirit, whom Christ the Head pours out on us his members, builds, animates, that is, gives life to, and sanctifies the church. He makes us holy. The church is indeed the sacrament of the Holy Trinity's communion with men. We, the church, are called by God and given these gifts of the Holy Spirit, these sacraments, to be the presence of Jesus Christ, to bring the life, the love of Jesus, to become better persons in our attitudes, in our outlook, in our performance, relying on the Holy Spirit's power. If you want to see the effect of it in the life of someone, we'll take a look at the Virgin Mary. Since this month of May is dedicated to her, we see how the Holy Spirit was active in her life as a Christian. We know that the Holy Spirit kept pure and free from original sin the very soul of Mary by the Holy Spirit's power at her conception. She was always guided by the Holy Spirit in a life of sanctifying grace to fully resist temptation and to do nothing but good in her thoughts, her words, and her deeds. The Holy Spirit allowed her to wholeheartedly be receptive to God's will, thus enabling her to most humbly accept her vocation as the mother of the Messiah. When she gave her consent, as Scripture tells us, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the second person of the Trinity, the Word, became flesh in her womb by his power. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth gave thanks and praise as the preborn John the Baptist leapt in her womb in the presence of Jesus, who was in the womb of Mary, his mother. And this was all inspired by the same Spirit, giving life even before birth. Mary then proclaimed the glory of God's praises, who had done such a mighty deed for her, and her soul magnified the Lord, for as she said, God who is great has done a great thing for me, and all generations will call me blessed. We know that in the infancy of Jesus, the Holy Spirit guided the Holy Family from Nazareth to Bethlehem, from Bethlehem to Jerusalem, and after Simeon's prophecy that Mary would suffer greatly because of her son, they went from Jerusalem to Egypt, and from Egypt back to Nazareth. But while there, the Holy Spirit guided the Holy Family in raising the young Jesus, that he would grow in wisdom, age, and in grace before God and men. The Holy Spirit prompted Jesus to begin his mission up to the time of his passion. By the power of the Holy Spirit, we believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, the new Adam, who was lifted up from the dust of the earth. The Holy Spirit then drew Jesus up to the Father's right hand at his ascension, and following that, then poured out on the church at Pentecost the fullness of his Spirit, who remains with us still. We know that Mary was there at Pentecost, and that she lived fully united to the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit until her assumption into heaven. As Jesus tells us in the Gospel, those of us who are guided by the Spirit would always keep his word. Whoever loves me, Jesus says, will keep my word, and my Father will come to him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. This is only done by the power of the Holy Spirit. If we live in the spirit of evil, however, as Jesus says, whoever does not love me does not keep my words, yet the word that you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. And I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that is told to you. When we have that word of Jesus in our hearts, when we have the word of Christ in our minds, when Christ himself becomes our reason for everything, then we realize that we have a sense of peace. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. It's my peace that I give to you. Not as the world gives it do I give it to you. It's something altogether different. It's not simply happiness, but joy. It's not simply contentment, but fulfillment. It isn't simply satisfaction, but a sense of purpose. May we too, brothers and sisters, be guided by that same Spirit in all things, that our minds, our hearts, and our wills may think of nothing but Christ, love nothing but Christ, and desire nothing but Christ and his will. In this way, the Spirit grants us his peace, both now and in eternity.